Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Born to love. Scott?
Ellie?
I hope my singing was adequate, especially today, because we have a queen of the screen and stage as our guest today, Tony Award winner Sutton Foster. She's here today. It's why I really, really do hope that my singing was, you know, up to speed, because I am speechless.
Can't compete. Because when you started to apologize for your singing, I was going to say, no, Ellie, never apologize. It's great. But then you reminded me that Sutton is our guest, and I thought, nope, doesn't pass muster. I'm Scott Eckert. You're Ellie Kemper. This is Born to Love, the podcast where we talk to people about what they were born to love. Sutton, can't wait to talk about what she was born to love. But before we bring her in, Ellie, is there something you love this week?
Scott, it's so funny that we started the chat off talking about voices and singing and vocal cords, because what I happen to love this week, it was a rainy, rainy week.
It was very rainy.
In New York.
I got multiple texts from you about the rain.
And every time it was, to me, it was as though it was the first time. People joke about weather as small talk. I take it as big talk. So yeah, I did mention to Scott several times this week it was rainy, and I decided to do some, I'll call it self-care. Listen to this, Scott. And this isn't the part that I loved, though I do love how it looks. I got my eyelashes tinted.
Wow.
Can you tell?
I did not know that was a thing you could do.
I haven't done it since 2004. So it's been 19 years. and it has worn off.
Wait, let me check that math. It's been 19 years. Yes. Yep.
Is that right? Did I do it right?
You did it right?
So it's a little treat. I walked by a brow place. So I said, I'm going to get a tint. So I did. That wasn't what I loved, Scott. The woman applying the tint to my eyelashes had the softest voice that I've heard in years.
Mm.
I don't hear voices as soft. And it was so funny because there was really loud music playing in the brow salon. And she didn't close the door to the room. It was actually crazy. Maybe people were getting stir crazy because of the rain. But this was at 1 p.m. There was a party in the salon. I mean, people were shouting in the salon. There was music blasting. And this woman, what I loved about her, she never raised her voice. I kept saying, I'm sorry, what'd you say? Because I wanted to match her tone. And it wasn't out of defiance or like, how dare you? She just didn't raise her voice. So she just kept talking. And she was talking about collagen powder mixes, and she was talking about olive oil and rosemary oil, and it was so soft. I had goosebumps.
Wait,
all over my arms.
I have to ask, Ellie, because in such a circumstance, the rain is roaring, the music's blaring, the other customers are dancing and singing and shouting, and this woman's whispers are barely audible to you. I could imagine myself in that situation being slightly annoyed. But you loved it. So what did you love? Did you love the quiet confidence with which she said, damn you, world, I am going to talk the way I want to talk? Or did you admire the literally soothing nature of that voice?
The latter. There was no way I could become annoyed that she wouldn't talk in a tone that I could actually hear. Her voice was like milk streaming through a valley of lotion. I mean, I can't come up with another.
Her voice was a literal shelter in the storm. The weather was so terrible that you were driven into this brow place. For the record, something I've never heard of before. Walk by the brow place, and all you've got is you got a heavy burden, right? And that burden is just frustration. You're soaking wet. You're like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to treat myself to a treat I haven't had in 19 years.
What if I hadn't been matched with her?
What if one of the singers had done your eyebrows?
Well, that's just it. And I could have been stuck with one of the loud ones. And instead, this woman's voice. I wrote down everything she said because she was recommending all of these different products to use. None of them FDA approved, by the way.
So this quiet woman pushing her poisons.
The only time her voice was actually audible was when she was showing me her Venmo, because I had started to leave and she said, you can tip on my Venmo. And that was the only thing she said that got my attention. Other than that, it was just the dewiest, softest, plushiest little cotton candy voice. Does that ever happen to you, Scott?
You know what? I'm trying to think now. This is the thing that it reminds me of, right? My sister does not have a mellifluously soft voice, but she is very deliberate in terms of her volume. And she is a scholar. She is a professor of English. And I think that it's because she spends all her time in the library. Now, she comes to my house and my kids are screamers. Little bit of a screamer, right? The listeners of the podcast may know I get worked up. So my sister just sits in the din of yelling and shouting in my house, and she cannot take it. And every once in a while, she'll snap and she'll go, Jack or Jenny, she'll be, use your inside voice. And a part of me is like, who does she think she is telling my kids what to do? And then I have to remind myself, she's got the sensibilities of a musty old librarian. And that's what they do. Yep. They scold people for being too loud.
Yep. And I don't disagree with Lindsay. And I don't disagree with my lash technician.
Lash lady and Lindsay would get along great, I think.
Very well.
I understand a spa voice. The thing that doesn't connect is how loud everything else was.
That's what it was. And it was a lot of Olivia Rodrigo. And I only know that because I recently discovered her music and I love it. Speaking of singing, speaking of really just talented people, our guest today, Sutton Foster. I mean, this is an icon we're having on our sweet little radio show. Sutton Foster is a 2-time Tony Award-winning actress, singer, and dancer. She has starred in so many Broadway shows, including Thoroughly Modern Millie, Anything Goes, The Drowsy Chaperone, and most recently, The Music Man, the hit of the century, co-starring Hugh Jackman. On television, Sutton was the star of Younger, as well as the cult classic Bunheads. But that's not all. Sutton is also an avid crafter and crochet expert. She even wrote a book about it. It's out in paperback now. It's called Hooked: How Crafting Saved My Life. She's here to talk about crafting today. I'm so excited to hear what she has to say about crafting because, to be honest, I'm hoping to pick up crafting as a hobby because I need one. I can't just listen to people talk softly. I have to find another love. So when we come back, we're going to sit down with the lovely Sutton Foster. You guys, we are back with the ethereal Sutton Foster. Scott knows how excited I am. Scott is equally excited.
Well, I can't say that because you are more excited.
I'm
sweating. That's only because you're the most excited I think you've ever been.
I know I am. I'm in awe of this woman. Hi, Sutton.
Hi, Ellie. Hi, Scott. So happy to be here. I'm very excited too. So this is awesome.
Well, you're kind to say that. We feel like a queen is sitting down with us to talk about her love of all things crafting. So Sutton, I love that because I am not a natural born crafter. What is it about crafting? You've written books about this.
A book, just one, book. for now,
one book. What is it about crafting that you love so much?
Well, I come from a family of crafters, I guess. My mom was a cross stitcher. My dad, I'd call him a tinkerer, constantly like doing something, working on something. And my mom's sister is still like a hardcore crafter. She's part of a church knitting group called Chicks with Sticks.
Oh, dear.
It's so good. It's like so dreams good. And goals. And for me, I love making things, especially now in this day of technology. There's something about making something with your hands, and it's something that lives on. Like my mom has passed away. My mom, she's passed away for 10 years, but I just celebrated her 10-year anniversary.
I'm sorry.
But the things that she made, I still have. Like she made all these Christmas ornaments and a bookmark with my name on it. And they live on forever. Yeah. So they become these little heirlooms. And I put them on the tree every year. And I have a daughter. My daughter's 6 years old. And she doesn't know how to crochet or cross stitch yet. But we do like, you know, the paper and glue sticks and cotton balls and all the things.
That specifically, I am so envious of. So something I need to say up front. I am not gifted in that way. I don't have, what are the skills called?
Fine motor skills.
Fine motor skills. Also maybe gross motor skills. I don't know what I have, but motor skills are not it. And so it's not that the enthusiasm isn't there. Like I want to do these projects and activities, and I do, but they're not good.
That doesn't matter.
I guess not.
It shouldn't be about product. It's the process, right? And so maybe that's what it is that I'm attracted to is like, it's a reminder that it's about process and like things take time. Yes. And even when I'm crocheting or it's like, it's row by row and you do a little bit at a time and then suddenly you look down and you go, oh, I made a blanket or whatever it is. And you could equate it to anything, building a character, creating any type of creative thing. It's this constant reminder that it takes time. And maybe that's what I love about it. And people ask me, they're like, what part of the process do you like? And I think I like the beginning of something. Like I love the idea. Yes, I love the idea. And then like starting something. I have so many unfinished projects because I'll like get in the middle of it. I'm like, I want to start something else, you know?
So, yes.
Same with acting too. Like it excites me, like the rehearsal process, all of those things.
And all the potential and unlocking that potential. But it is that thing where it's like, okay, I have 30 minutes. And my mindset is how much stuff can I get done in this 30-minute block? And it's all about like check off the list. And I am envious because to have that ongoing project that requires time to complete, that's really valuable because I feel like it's so overlooked, not to be trite, but it's really overlooked in this day and age. It is.
When I was on set, I would find that I'd be looking at my phone and I was like, is there a better use of my time? You know, and I started bringing my little craft bag to set and I would pull out. And then by the end of the day, I'd go, oh, look, I've accomplished something, you know.
Oh, that's more so than satisfying.
More than just sitting in my chair and eating nut bars.
Sutton.
Scott.
Your Instagram is full of just amazing. It's words fail me how impressive some of the things you've worked on are. For our listeners who maybe haven't taken a chance to look at it yet, what are some projects that stand out to you as like, that was a pretty good one? What are we talking about when we're talking about crafting? What are you making?
Okay, well, right now I'm super into crocheted houseplants. Okay. I love to garden. Then I found this book. I can't remember the author's name, but she has all these amazing patterns of crocheted houseplants. And I was like, let me give this a shot. And so I made a crocheted snake plant and I had to use pipe cleaners and bamboo to like get it to stand up. I was so into this thing and it's like awesome. It's one of my favorite things I've ever made. And then I made a fishbone cactus, but it's crocheted.
Oh my gosh. Fishbone cactus alone. Just say those words. And I think that's ambitious.
They're just awesome. So I got really into crocheted houseplants.
Just for the record, I'm looking at them right now and they look like houseplants, right? Is it cake? Is it crochet? I would fail with these cactuses. Gosh.
I think that's what I love about crochet too. You can make really beautiful things, but they can also have a great sense of humor. I've made toilet paper roll covers. Really proud of those.
Toilet paper roll cover, crocheted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that, where do they go? What do?
Well, the toilet paper roll.
The toilet paper goes in it.
I'm talking about this in like
detail.
That's
all I want to talk about.
Yeah. So like, if you think about it, a toilet paper roll, what a fabulous base of something. Yeah. What can you make? So I've made pumpkins and an octopus. I really want to make a garden gnome, you know, things like that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love a garden gnome. I was in Pasadena all summer and my sister was given all these garden gnomes as a gift, and I love them. I just, they're,
oh,
they're
yeah.
so sweet.
I'm a fan of any lawn ornament.
And I don't have a lawn here, but I enjoyed hers for the summer. Scott lives in Los Angeles and has a yard.
I don't have any, no, I'm afraid of the lawn gnomes. They creep me out. Right? I mean, they're purposefully creepy and magical, yeah. right? Like, yeah. what do they do at
they're
night when you're not
magical,
looking?
Magical, I think. Not creepy. I think you're reading into it. I think you're...
You don't think gnomes are magic? What's a gnome? What is it?
I said they are magic. I said not
oh,
creepy. I was yes on magic, no on creepy.
No on creepy. Magic no. creeps me out.
He's but magic.
I don't want my phobias to dominate this.
Oh my
We're
gosh.
Celebrating Sutton's love of crafting, Ellie.
Sorry, Scott.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values. Premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
So you mentioned crafting or crocheting on set in between. You're obviously an enormous Broadway star doing big shows in front of thousands of people. When you're not on stage, are you crocheting before the barn burning number that brings the house down? Are you just like working on your crochet cactus backstage?
Yes, very much so. Yes, yes, I am. At the Music Man, I had two giant bins of yarn, and I would often bring my dog, and then my dog would like sleep in the yarn basket. And then there was one day I came up, I have a little dog, she's the perfect backstage dog. And then there was one day we came in and she was just like trapped in yarn and couldn't get out of the basket. It was like all over, she was like mummified with yarn.
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah, she was fine. She was fine. She was
okay. No animals
were
harmed.
No, yeah. In the yarn basket. If anything, we took pictures. But yes, I'm constantly working on something, especially at the theater. During Music Man, I was the green captain because I love saving the planet.
So I
asked all my castmates to bring in bottles and jars and glasses, and I like repurposed all these things and turned them into like things you could put some pencils in,
right,
or something.
Right, yes.
And then we sold them all at the Broadway flea market and made and raised money for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights Aid. So that's what I was working on for a big chunk of the Music Man. So my entire dressing room was filled with crocheted.
But Sutton, when did you have time to do that?
Well, I mean, I had chunks of time off. And, you know, when I go back to the dressing room, I was not on my phone. I was picking up my crochet hook and, you know.
What is the minimum amount of time backstage that you would be, like act two, scene four, you're off stage for a minute and a half. Is that enough time to crochet?
Depends how excited I am on whatever I'm working on. So yeah, like intermission, definitely, or before the show, or in Music Man, I didn't enter till later. So I had like 20 minutes at the top of show. I would crochet until Hugh Jackman's entrance, and then I would pee, and then I would get ready. You know, it was like, that was...
I have a silly question, which is, do the nerves, you just don't get... I'm sure people ask you this all the time.
Of course I get nervous all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But does the crocheting...
Yes, it helps. It's like a focuser of energy, yeah. I guess. If I'm just sitting there staring at myself in the mirror and like nervous, I mean, those things that I make in the dressing room are filled with all sorts of energy, you know?
Yes.
But it's like,
yes.
I'm putting it towards something, I guess. Yeah. And I'm very prolific when I'm highly anxious.
Well, that makes perfect sense. So we're lucky because we get to talk about different things that people love on this podcast. And after every conversation, I think, yeah, I should try that. And I've tried a few and I haven't gotten, sorry to use the word, hooked. That's the title of your book. But I do feel like, especially in those moments, like before bed, like all I'm doing is scrolling and I can feel my brain becoming just gummier and gooier. And to be able to channel it into something productive like that feels like that would be infinitely more satisfying. When did this turn? I don't know. Did you ever think of this as, I don't even want to use the word hobby because it sounds so much more profound than a hobby.
Oh, I have so many hobbies, I guess. I mean, there are so many things that I like to do. And I think as a performer, I have leaned into my hobbies because so often I'm like waiting for the phone to ring, right? Waiting for someone to give me permission to like do what I love to do. And I found things that I love to do that don't require anyone to give me permission to do it. So I get to decide. And they're all creative. It's a creative outlet. So for me, it brings me joy. Like I love to garden and I love to cook and hike and I love to crochet and I love to make things. And trust me, there are days when I'm sitting there scrolling on the phone too. Yeah. And I don't think, well, I could make a better choice by picking up my crochet hook, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
But when I was writing the book, I just realized it was this natural way of telling my story through the things that I've made because somehow they represent more of who I am than the roles I've played.
Yep. And I, and Scott too, I think we all can all relate to that.
I can't relate to expressing myself through the power of craft. I'm terrible. But I think that impulse, I yearn for it as well. And I'm envious, quite frankly. My mother is huge into needlepoint. She works at a needlepoint store and she's just like deep in that community. There seems to be such a positivity in the sort of crafting community and you've brought it here to this podcast. But anytime she sees someone else's work, there's a little bit of side eye.
She submits, you were gonna say the opposite.
She submits everything to the Minnesota State Fair. And I've been to the State Fair with her before and she walks down the aisle. She'll definitely cross her arms and be like, well, that stitch isn't very difficult. Do you ever feel that?
I love that.
When you walk into a crafting place, do you ever secretly, a little whisper in your soul being like, I could do better?
Let me think about this. I love that. I mean, I'm not submitting stuff to the state fair yet, although that's exciting. I have seen people do unbelievable things. I wouldn't put myself in expert territory. I'm amazed at like what I can make and I'm amazed that I can read a pattern and I can figure something out, which I never thought I would be able to do.
Is that true? Because that gives someone like me hope. Because it seems hard. It seems very hard.
But I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
I started crocheting when I was like 19 and I'm, you know, old lady. I'm matronly. So I have been doing it for a long time. But then there was something that I don't know what it was. It was after my daughter was born. My daughter's 6 and I write about it in the book, but I had always just followed other people's patterns. And maybe this is where like the profound thing sort of comes into play. But something happened when my daughter was born and I was like, I wonder if I can make my own pattern. And it goes in even with parenting or like breaking cycles or, you know, we can have a whole therapy session about it. But there was something very profound for me of like, actually, I think I could do this my own way.
Right.
And so that became like, and I had no idea that that was even an option.
I love that.
So that's been really, really cool. So I designed all these baby blankets and then I was able to auction those off. My daughter's adopted and I auctioned them off for an adoption charity. So I've been able to use my crochet for the power of good.
For the power of good! Were you referring to the fact that you could design them yourself?
Yeah, that I could design them myself. But then that means, I could design my own version of parenting.
Exactly!
Yeah.
That is what I personally find so inspiring is, yes, unfortunately, that is part of the job. You have to wait for the phone to ring. But also in the meantime, you can make things happen on your own. And it doesn't have to be necessarily like starting a company. I'm always like, do I need to start a company? Like,
oh no, but I definitely want a crafting empire.
You're not stopping at company. You're going straight to empire. What an outlet.
Yeah. It's such a creative outlet that not only is it for me, but it's something like for my daughter. I can't wait to teach her how to do stuff, but that we do stuff together. And it's like, it's so simple. That's what I love too. I'm like, all right, no screens before school, but I'll do a craft.
Right.
We can sit and paint or color or whatever it is. It could be so simple. It doesn't have to be state fair worthy.
Also, Scott, you say that you're not a crafter. I have to like shout out your enormous skill when it comes to puzzle assembly.
I don't think puzzles count as crafts.
They count as a very finished, tangible product, Scott.
Are you talking about like jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, like 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. That's my new jam with my wife. We're the coolest parents on the block.
I love me a jigsaw puzzle.
Did you and Hugh Jackman in the backstage of The Music Man do an enormous 4,000-piece puzzle? I mean, you're just doing
some... No, that would have been fun. Although, when I did Les Mis, there was a puzzle always going. So that puzzling does make its way into Broadway shows.
Wow.
Again, an onlooker. Whenever there's a puzzle going on, I like glance over it and I think, oh no, I couldn't.
I'm
like,
Ellie,
I'm so fearful. I need to like
of what? Get,
I don't know. Failure. I really have to buck up and just start joining in because whereas you are inspired and sparked by the idea of starting something, I feel like, oh my God, intimidated by the process. So I just need to get over it.
Yeah. And I go through phases, you know, I think it's like anything, it's funny, like anything that you love, you go through phases where there are times you're like, mm-mm. And I go through phases where I'm like, oh, this is it. This is all I want to do. And then I take time off and then you come back to it. And I flip around and do different things too, to keep interested.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have any crafting disasters?
Of course.
Where you were like, oh boy, that one.
Of course. So many disasters. And some of them break your heart because you put so much time into it and then it like doesn't turn out. Oh my gosh, I was making a baby blanket and it was for a friend. And it was a very simple gray and white pattern. The peace symbol was in white. The rest of the blanket was in gray. I was on a New York to LA flight. I worked on it for the entire 6 hours. I was like, oh, yes, I'm so excited. And I finally looked down and I went, oh, no, this is nerd talk.
We want to get there. We want to get in the weeds.
Yarns have different dye lots. So it may look like the same color gray, but unless it has the same number, it's not the same color gray. And I think I might have cried a little. It was one of those things where I looked down, I went, oh no. And like a big chunk of the blanket in a weird place was just maybe no one would even notice it, but I noticed it.
Yeah.
I was so upset because I had just spent 6 hours working on this thing and I put it away because I couldn't deal.
Yeah.
But then finally the person that I was making it for, they were like, that baby blanket. And I was like, oh. So I had to sit down and undo. I had to undo like 6 hours worth of crochet. And I was just surrounded by mounds of like tangled yarn.
Oh.
And I was like, come on, put some love into this baby blanket.
Who's demanding a homemade baby blanket?
Well, I want to know that.
You don't have to name names, but boy.
We're not going to force you, but offline you are telling us it was. But also, Sutton, was this from your own perfectionism or like, was it that obvious?
I don't think it was that obvious. And but to me.
No, I know.
And also when you're making something that you hope will be something that they'll have forever, you hope, and it won't end up at like the Salvation Army or something.
Right.
But I was like, all right, come on, you can do it. And sometimes I have to just let things go and like start over. But yeah, it's like a silly thing, like a dye lot. And you go, ugh.
Oh, I know.
Rookie mistake.
You know? Well, to me, that sounds like an easy mistake to make. My comparison would be furniture assembly. I was assembling 6 dining room chairs about a year ago, and I was so proud because of exactly what you're talking about. The product is tangible. I see it. And this was like for utility purposes. It wasn't even art. I was so pleased with myself.
Right.
And then after people started breaking the chair.
Oh no.
I realized I connected the first one upside down. And I was it wasn't the same thing as because people could have been injured, I guess. So
did people sit in them and the chairs just collapse?
They slowly collapsed. There was never like thump. It was like creaky, creaky. And then Michael, my husband, was the main one to fall. But the point is like having to go back, especially because my pride was on the line.
I just need to know, was Michael like, hey, Ellie? And he was like squeaking the chair. I think something's wrong. And were you like, it's fine.
Yes. I was
them.
So defensive.
I built them that. I followed the instructions.
Yes.
And it's a...
like your friend checking in on the baby blanket. Like, oh, hey, how's the baby blanket? You're like, it's fine. Right?
It's coming along.
But that frustration of having to start over, especially when you feel like you've come...
Yeah.
So far.
You've crushed it.
It's
yeah.
Hard.
And then you're like, meow, meow.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Do you have any aspirations of doing some sort of crafting business? Or maybe you have already started one?
Well, she means she wrote a book.
Well, I know she wrote a book.
One book. Ellie, my biggest dream is to have a yarn line.
Is that true?
Yes.
Let's start that tomorrow.
That's like my biggest dream. And there would be no dye lots. None.
Yes.
Ellie, it makes more sense to me now that you feel compelled to start a business since apparently you think it's very easy. Because Sutton's like, yeah, I want to do some yarn. And you're like, do it now. It's easy. Just start it already, Sutton.
I am remembering, and Scott and I are a year apart in age. And when I was, I just remember friendship bracelets, the kind with yarn, which I'm sure
yes!
children still make all the time. You're really inspiring me to go out and buy, I think it's string, it's not yarn.
Yeah.
That I would buy. And I remember I used to know how to make, it was just knotting. It wasn't anything
yes,
hard.
Yes, I did the
but
same
like,
thing.
Yes.
I was so into them.
I was very into them.
All right, I'm going to make you a friendship bracelet, Ellie.
Stop it, because my heart just stopped. That's all I'm wearing.
Aren't the friendship bracelet rules that they have to be reciprocated?
Oh, no.
You should make one for Ellie.
And then Ellie
will spend months and months on hers. And then when you end up getting it, you'll be like, oh, thanks.
No, it'll be perfect.
My sister is a supreme crafter. And in third grade, we both had the same assignment. It was just pottery. And hers is this pristine teapot, beautifully crafted, no flaw to be seen. And mine is just like, bare, put some mud together and put it in an oven. And that's what I'm so scared that my little friendship bracelet for you won't pass the test. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll work on it.
It'll be perfect.
I'll just try to make the same one that you make me.
The thing is, the most important ingredient in any craft is love. So as long as you put that in your friendship bracelet, Ellie, I think it'll be fine.
Thank you, Scott.
Am I wrong?
You are absolutely right. Except for when you redo a baby blanket and then it's just a lot of spite.
This is an inspiration. It's an inspiration to me, obviously an inspiration to Ellie. Thank you so much for sharing your love, Sutton. Do you have a couple of minutes to play a game that we like to play with our guests?
Yeah, I do.
Awesome.
You can only win. So it's a fun game. Okay.
Good.
When we come back, we're going to play Love It or Loathe It with the great Sutton Foster. And we're back. Sutton has been talking about her love of all things craft. And now we want to play a game that we'd love to play with all of our guests. It's called Love It or Loathe It. And Sutton, what we're going to do is give you various subjects, topics, items. And we want you to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. There can be no in between, okay?
All right.
Nothing lukewarm about it.
I'll try.
All right.
All right, Sutton. First one, love it or loathe it, dance cardio.
Oh, I love it.
Like the workout classes where you teach dance cardio?
Yes.
Sign me up. No, you shouldn't. She's a Broadway star.
I teach it at a studio in New York City called The Limit. I have classes. I'm insane. Yeah, I love it.
I'm signing up.
You
what is
better.
It The Limit? Oh, I'll embarrass myself. Oh, that's fantastic.
You have to come. You'll come as my guest. You'll come.
I'm coming as your guest.
Scott, too.
Yeah, Scott, play in for this.
No, probably not.
I'm
feeling bad because all these suggestions, it's like, no, Scott can't do that. Surely Scott can't craft. Scott can't do dance cardio. They're all true. I'm a man without skills.
That's not true. You're puzzles. Okay, now, Sutton, I'm curious to know your answer to this. Love it or loathe it, TJ Maxx?
Love it!
Yes! Sisters.
I love a coupon.
Yes.
I love a deal, and I love TJ Maxx and Home Goods. I go in and I bring snacks. I make sure I'm hydrated, like prepared. And I get so excited when I find like the really yummy sriracha in the food aisle.
Yes!
And I'm like, there's three bottles. And I'm like, no one look, because I'm grabbing all of the.
Oh, I know.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
You're a woman after my own heart, because that's like my crafting. It's like a de-stressor. I don't have to buy anything. I like browsing the aisles.
Love it.
The best TJ Maxx I have ever seen in my life is in La Cañada. It is like three stories and it's so well maintained.
And there's always something new and exciting. I know.
Always.
Love
always.
It.
I'm with you on that.
Love it or loathe it, Sutton. Kids YouTube.
Loathe it.
Like YouTube. Yeah, loathe.
My daughter's super into cake making videos.
Oh.
And I don't have all the parental controls set up for YouTube or like even kids YouTube or anything. And so I'm like, oh, no. You can't go on YouTube unsupervised.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, two clicks and they're onto some screed about human trafficking. My son's favorite thing in the world is to watch teenagers play video games.
And like, what is that?
Oh, no. He's 9 and all he wants to do is watch teenagers he's never met play video games. And it drives me up the wall.
That's a popular thing. We're all on the same page. I need to look up controlling parental control because I don't have any of them on.
Yeah.
I don't know what my children have seen.
Primarily, I'm just worried about YouTube just because I know you're right.
Yes.
Two clicks away.
That's exactly right. Okay. Love it or loathe it. Mechanical pencils.
Like a ticky, ticky, ticky. You like that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love a mechanical pencil, but I like a regular pencil too. When I'm drawing, I like to draw with a mechanical pencil. Like
you do?
I do.
Like a click, a click. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, mechanical pencils, they definitely require mastery of fine motor skills because loading those tiny little graphite rods.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't do it without breaking them.
They're very delicate.
I very know. Delicate.
Yet another thing I can't do.
But I like the way they
Scott,
draw
we're gonna find something.
More than like a normal pencil.
Yep. I keep having a thing lately where the regular pencils in my house keep. Now it sounds like the chairs, but they keep breaking. It's like my 7-year-old is writing with a pencil and it keeps breaking. I don't know if he's pressing too hard or what.
Yeah.
Or they make pencils differently now.
They don't make them like they used to.
I know, it's number 2.
The YouTube, I don't like the YouTube and the pencils are worse now. All right, love it or loathe it, overalls. I really appreciate how seriously you're taking each and every one of these, because listeners need to know that Sutton is really internalizing each and every one of these.
Well, because we've only given her 2 choices. She can either love it with all her heart or loathe it with a deep passion.
it's such a tricky one because it really depends on who's wearing them.
Oh, now isn't that interesting?
You know, because there's exactly some people right. You're like, no. Mm-mm. But then other people are like, oh,
yeah.
I went through an overall phase in my life in like my 20s where all I wore were overalls and I loved them. I haven't worn an overall in a long time. So I don't know. I'm going to say loathe.
Yeah.
That's where I am today. Today.
Today.
Tomorrow might feel different.
Feelings change. We are not holding you to that answer.
Thank you.
Today she loathes them. And I don't disagree. Okay. Sutton.
Yes.
Our two-time Tony Award winner. Love it or loathe it, standing ovations.
Love it.
Yes.
Although, okay, I love being a recipient of it. I mean, why not? But here's, I guess I have feelings about it because there are sometimes you are like, I am on my feet right away.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where you feel peer pressure from the audience to stand.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky thing. Yeah. I guess it's a complicated thing. I do love giving a standing ovation when it is earned. And I have leapt to my feet to cheer on a performance that has rocked my world.
Yep.
And it is a thrill to be on stage when an entire theater stands on their feet.
Yes.
So I think I love it more than I loathe it.
Yeah.
But I guess there are some feelings in there.
Well, it's not an uncomplicated love, but still a love.
I'm sure there have been articles written about this, but as a theater goer, audience member, when did everyone start standing, ovating immediately? Like it's just what people do.
Right.
It's expected.
And it's different in London. Like they don't, it doesn't happen as much where there's not that expectation that it's just like an assumption that, everyone stands and it's like, oh no, I want
to. I'm going to say it so you don't have to, but I vote for people being more selective. As an audience member, I want to urge my fellow audience members, let's be more selective in our standing ovations because otherwise we're handing them out willy-nilly.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, wow. I guess I have some feelings too.
Well, we would always give you a standing ovation.
Aw, thanks.
No doubt about it.
Standing ovation to thank you for even being here in the first place.
Thank you.
We are so grateful to you for taking time to talk with us. Sutton Foster, thank you for being on our show. And we just wanted to quickly ask you, is there anything you would like to quickly promote or anything like
that? Okay. No. Come take my dance cardio class. That's the only thing. Come dance with me.
I'm there.
Read your book.
Read my book. Oh, yeah, that.
You've inspired me to take on many, many different crafting endeavors right now. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. All right. Thank you so much for spending time with me. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.